Hello, everyone. I'm Marcy Howard, and for the next hour, we're going to have a discussion about faith. The mission of About Faith is to gain peace and understanding with one another through answering questions about a variety of faiths. We're not here to debate right or wrong. We are here to gain knowledge and understanding of one another through respectful conversations with faith leaders about their own journey of faith. So let's go to our panel now. And I would like to welcome Ashish from the Hindu Culture Center of Shreveport, Rabbi Jana from B'nai Zion Congregation, Pastor Sioni from First United Methodist of Bossier City, Father Jason from Holy Nativity of the Lord Mission, and Imam Islam from the MCS Islamic Center. Wow, what a privilege to be with all of you today. Thank you for coming.
Marcy Howard, our moderator and host.
All right, so let's get started with an introduction of what we're going to talk about today. And today I'm really excited about because we're going to be hearing from Imam Islam, and he's going to be speaking of a very, very important celebration in his faith, and it's called Ramadan. Imam, what is the meaning of the word Ramadan?
Ramadan, before I'm going, peace be upon you and God mercy and blessing with us, my dear and most respected brothers and sisters in faith. Ramadan, it is the month of lunar calendar, is ninth month, the Ramadan, in which month the Muslim have to fasting the whole month. And this start like before dawn and until sunset. We're not supposed to eat or drink and not have any sexual with wife in this daytime. So this is mean of like the fasting, not eating, not drinking, not any kind of the relationship with the wife daytime, that from dawn to sunset.
Okay.
But you don't starve to death because you do get to eat eventually, right, Imam? It always scares people to hear about this kind of a fast, but you do get to eat eventually, correct?
Yes. Yeah, after sunset, we eat and drink whatever you can do. Yes. But that is after sunset, we're eating and have the like long prayer. You know, because the month of Ramadan, in this month, not only fasting, this month, the God, with Allah, and he sent his final book, the Quran, in month of Ramadan. And actually, our prophet, peace be upon him, he informed us the Injil, like Torah revealed the prophet Isa, prophet Musa, and this month, when God went to meet the God, in the Quran say, وَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. God promised to him, he go meet with the God in 30 days, you know. And then finally his 40 days, and God give it to him the book. And our prophet said, this is the month of Ramadan, when he went there. Actually fasting at that time. When he received the book, he fasting.
And may I, Imam, so for anyone who knows what some people call Old Testament, I'm going to call Hebrew scriptures, and you mentioned Torah.
Torah.
So in Hebrew, it's Moshe. You mentioned Moses as the prophet, and some people call him Moses, and I'm not sure that everybody makes the connection of all of those things. And we know that it's written in the scriptures that he wrote for 40 days and he fasted. So it is true. It's the same story, in other words. We share that story.
I try to say how we are close to each other. I try to say how they were close each other. And same thing, the Injil that revealed the prophet Isa, the Jesus, peace upon him, in this month. You know, also like this, all this book, you know, it is the book of gods. And who brought the same person? It's a Jibril, you know. The Injil and Torah and Quran, the brought by the Jibril, and they Gabriel. Give it to
Gabriel.
Yeah. Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel. Yeah.
Archangel Gabriel.
So this is the this month, very connection with the God's books. You know, the God's book, all the books. I respect all the books. In other book, the other religions, they have is sent by God. Maybe I don't know everything, you know, but I hope every book that God sent it. But I have the connection, this book, the Quran, Torah, and Injil. I know the history, you know, that I say, this has come like same challenge, you know, same way. So this month, Allah and the God, He sent the books for us, you know, for the each and every human being. He sent the books, although sent by prophet, but not means only for prophet. Like when a teacher, he teach a book for the all the student. You know, same, when the prophet, they're like the teacher. They teach the people and they should know the what is in the book. Because this book, God sent to us how we live this world, how we preparation our next life, everything in this book. But unfortunately, you know, nowadays, either Muslim, maybe the other, you know, the people, other faith of people, the most of them, they not have time to go, they recite this book, reading this book, or act upon this book. If we are act upon this book, you know, the Quran, Torah, Injil, or other books, you know, so they, I think there's no will be any kind dispute, any kind, this will be peace and love, because all this book God sent us for loving, take care of each other, love each other. So this kind of book. So after fasting, from morning to evening, this day, like every night, our the Quran is 30 parts, you know. So every day we recite on parts in the our pray. And usually I pray like it's without looking, you know. We have memory, whole books, you know, it's big books. I memorize. And most of the people, those who like preacher, they memorize and they say by their memory in the salah. And it take around like almost 2 hours in the night. So this whole month, like, you know, the daytime we're fasting, not eating or drinking, and nighttime, like one part of the night, we also worship to God. Because this is very, very great month. And our prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him, he mention whoever fasting is month of Ramadan, and he believe and he hoping reward from God, so God will be forgive his all past sin. So this is a very great month, you know. In the also in the Quran, you know, if in we can read more, you know, like the all the prophets that God sent in this world, he mentioned in the book, in the Quran, like the prophet Musa, peace be upon him, the Moses, you know,
Moses.
He mentioned indirectly by the name in the Quran 143 times. And like the Isa, the Jesus, peace be upon him, he mentioned directly 25 times, and indirectly like first form and third form, altogether like 93 times. You know, the Maryam, you know, Mary, the mother of the Jesus, her name mentioned in the Quran more than 70 times. And there is one particular chapter is named by her name. It's called Surah Al-Maryam, the chapter of the Mary. So I try to say, like, you know, all this, and they, how do they call the people, how they teach the people, how they show the people the right path, you know.
Imam, may I ask a question? So I understand about the month of fasting and then of the prayers. How often is this done individually, like person, family, family? How often is it done as a community? What parts are the family? What part is the community?
You know, as for the recite the book, the Quran, on a daily basis, you know, we recite every day. Some people less, some people more. Like me and my family, we try to read every day one juz.
At your family? Excuse me, you do it at your family? You don't necessarily go to the mosque, to the masjid to do that?
No. Yes, every night, we have prayer five times a day.
A day,
So every day, the night prayer is called Isha prayer. Isha means like night, you know. So night, nowadays we pray two times, on the sunset, and then other ones after 1 hour. So we pray like around 9 o'clock. So every day after pray, we have the session, we have the time, we have to talk about this book, the Quran, and we read together, we try to teach, you know, together, teaching and learning together.
It could be at your home with your family, or it could be in a group with the other people, correct?
No, this is the two things. Every person do individually their home.
Okay.
And then every day we do at the gathering.
Okay.
A night prayer, yes.
And when you break your fast in the evening after sundown, do you do that at home or you do it together?
Actually, because of the pandemic, of the people not allowed to do here. Although this our planning and every year we do used to do like the fasting, the broke the fast, the eating together. Most of the, we have maybe the 100 brothers come eat together, sister about 70, 80, they eat together, you know, and the children. So every night we eat together and then we pray.
So I was going to say, also Imam Islam, if you would, there's five pillars of the Islamic faith, correct?
Yes, yes.
And then the celebration of Ramadan fits into these five pillars. Would you explain the other pillars of Islam?
Okay. You know, very good, Father Jason say, a very good question. It's Islam, you have the five pillars. Many other things, but main thing, five pillars. One is the testimony, where say there is no God but Allah, you know, it's one God, oneness of the God. They say we believe all the prophets, we believe the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He is the messenger and servant of God. You know, he is the messenger servant. When I say he is the son or brother, he is the messenger. He is the messenger of God. God sent him as a messenger, as a prophet. You know, I say here one thing in the Quran is one is a prophet, one is called messenger. You know, the very depression, you know, all the prophets, a prophet, those who one is the messenger. Messenger have the more higher degree than prophets. You know, those prophets get the new books or new Sharia, this called the messenger. Like Prophet Musa, Moses, he get the Torah. So he have the new rule. Prophet Isa, he get the new rules. Prophet Muhammad, he get the new rules, the book. And other prophet, like the prophet Aaron, he's the prophet. He's not the messenger because he not get any new book.
He teaches,
but he not get any new books. Many other prophet like the Dawood get the books, like other Suleiman, all this prophet, they not get the new books, but they teachers. So the our say that one is the prophet, one is the messenger. Messenger is kind of higher than the prophets. So our first testimony, there is no God but Allah, He's one, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he the last and final messenger. And then second thing, second pillar of Islam is the pray. We pray five times. One is the morning pray. Then is one is the like noon time. I just finish. And then one about afternoon, around like before sunset, like 1.5 hours before. One is sunset and the one is the night prayer.
Imam, can I ask you a question about the prayer?
Yes, please.
Is it prayers that are printed and you say and all in Islam, all the Muslims say the same prayer at the same time? Or is it a personal prayer that you're saying?
No, this is obligatory prayer. All the Muslims should be prayed five times. And there's specific time. It's not specific time. Like, it's called, one is called is Fajr prayer. It's before dawn, before sunrise. So every person have to pray before sunrise.
So, Imam, I think, let me come in Marcy's question. It's the how to pray. I think that's what I was hearing. It's the way to pray. Is the prayer just reciting the Quran, or the prayer that is some writer would say the prayer is a conversation between me and Allah, or the prayer in your tradition is strictly a written prayer from the Quran, you just recite all of that. I think that's what I'm hearing Marcy asking.
Yeah.
Yes, like, you know, the prayer have many parts, you know, like when you're standing after, like they say, Allahu Akbar, the Allah is greater, you know, so they have to recite the book, the Quran, you know, some part. Then they go to like the bow down, and then make some tasbih. That's mean glorify to God. And then in same thing, and every time they move, the moving one position to other position, we say Allahu Akbar. The Allah is the greater. That means whatever we have, Allah is greater than this. You know, so Allah is greater. So every salah, every prayer, we have to recite some part of the Quran. Yes.
We're talking about five pillars, and you did mention pray five times a day. But what I'm most fascinated about is the pilgrimage to Makkah.
Yes. So I just finished two, and there are three more. So go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Because I do know personally a lot of people, because I am from India, and India has a huge Muslim population, second largest in the world after Indonesia. And I do know personally a lot of people who pilgrimage, they call it Hajj, and they go to Makkah. And there are certain ways that you do the pilgrimage. There are a few rituals that you have to go through. Would you like to talk about those rituals when you go to Makkah?
If I have time, I will, you know. So I just finished two. One is the testimony, second is the prayer. And then it's like fasting this month of Ramadan, like whole month we have to fast. Another is called zakah, charity. So every Muslim, they have to pay for poor people. They pay to 2.5 their money. Like, for example, like I have that $100,000. So I have to pay $2,500.
And would you say that word again? It sounds like in Hebrew it's called tzedakah. Is it like that?
Yes.
Tzedakah.
Zakat, sadaqah, is charity, zakat. Yes.
Right.
Charity.
So they have to pay. It is obligatory. If you have money, you have to pay.
And so when you don't have money, you still have to pay.
once every year, you have to pay. You know, that's, you know, very, if every Muslim, if they pay, like, if that one is, they pay this money, 2.5, so I think there no will be poor people in a need, you know, this money go to the poor people, those who need. Like, you know, like here, the people give the return money go to poor people, like, you know. So same way, you know, in Islam, you have the money, you have to pay zakah, 2.5, and it's go to needy people. This is four. And number fifth, Brother Washish say, is the Hajj, the pilgrimage. Once a lifetime, if he good health and he have enough wealth, he have to go for Mecca and do the Hajj. And there is certain way, there's some ritually thing, like you have to put two clothes, white garment, to white the male put without the swing cloth, and female can put any kind of cloth. Okay, it means they need more cover, so that why. So male without sewing cloth, two garment, one is lower part, the upper part, and they have to say some, they always make the a mention of the name God, and then they go to, you know, all this thing, you know, when the prophet Abraham and his son Ismail, like, do sacrifice there, he tried to sacrifice, you know, because God commanded him sacrifice. So when the people go to the Mecca, they do sacrifice the animal, you know, there. And there is the God house, you know, the, they say, like, you know, all the, I explain a little bit here, all the pray, like the masjid, we say is the house of God. But especially the Mecca, you know, it look like the cube, it's called Baitullah. Baitullah means house of Allah. Bait means house. In Arabic word, bait means house.
You know, so how you say house in Hebrew? You say bait. Yes. You say bait.
Yes. They say Bait al-Maqdis. You know, Bait al-Maqdis in the Philistine, in Jerusalem, the Bait al-Maqdis, you know. Bait means house. Maqdis in the holy house in the Jerusalem. Right. Yes.
What is
Kaaba? Kaaba? Mm-hmm. Actually, we say Qibla and Kaaba, we put face toward this and we pray. Any Muslim pray anytime, our direction should be that side. You know, when pray in the hour, like for India, our face toward the west, you know, because like what is called this Kaaba or Qibla, and toward the west from the India. We pray in America here, so northeast. You know, direction. Our direction, where we pray, our face toward this Qibla, this step, and house of God.
We do too.
Yes.
Lots of
connection. Our prophet, peace be upon him, before he migrated from Mecca to Medina, he used to pray such a way, you know, his face, his Qibla, in Mecca and Bait al-Maqdis. In Bait al-Maqdis, you know, the Bait al-Maqdis, what is called?
In Hebrew, they call it Beit HaMikdash, which was the holy tabernacle or the temple.
Yes, Bait al-Maqdis, so, the same, like, you know, very close.
Beit HaMikdash,
you know.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah, so we have pray at the time, same direction. So, when after he migrated from Mecca to Medina, some days he prayed toward the Bait al-Maqdis. Mm-hmm. Then God, but he have wish inside, you know, it is my father, in a forefather, in Abraham, his house, the Baitullah, he built it. So then God changed for him, for the Muslim, since we are prayed toward the Baitullah, you know, the house of in Mecca.
I'd like to make a comment, and I think we can see some continuity here between some of our faiths. If you go back and we look at the ancient Christian tradition, now, this is taken over from a Jewish tradition as well. The statement of faith in the early Christian church was Jesus Christ is Lord. Then, of course, we observe fasting or during various holy months as well, like we are right now. Then also you have the prayers at certain times during the day, 5 to 7. And then you also have pilgrimages that take place, the holy places. And so really, if you look at the overlap between Christianity absorbing the Jewish tradition and accommodating it. And then if you go back into the 6th century, 5th century, really even earlier than that, a lot of the Arabian Peninsula had Christian settlements within it before the Prophet Muhammad. And so you see some adaptation there as well in the faith themselves. So there's a continuity between kind of what we do in these ancient world religions that come from the Abrahamic tradition, so to speak. You know, there's similarities between them as we work our way through from the Jewish teachings and practices through the Christian teachings and practices into the Islamic traditions as well. They share a lot of the same culture and heritage, and also, as Imam Islam has said, certain sacred writings. But we also see it, especially between us, Orthodox Christians, and the people of Islam, the Muslim communities. You see it in their architecture as well. If you're in Istanbul, or what we refer to as Old Constantinople, you have the Hagia Sophia, which was the Church of the Holy Wisdom, which was the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire from the time of Justinian until it fell in 1453. Then it was changed into a mosque. But if you look across the street from it, the Blue Mosque is there as well. And if you were to put those two pictures side by side, and I've done this in a few church history classes, and I ask you to tell me, you know, and I removed the minarets because that would be giving it away, Imam Islam. So I said, just take the two basic structures as they are. Which one is Byzantine? Which one is Islamic? And they really can't tell the difference between the two, you know? So there is a lot of history, a lot of overlap, not just in certain sacred texts, but also how we approach the spiritual life itself.
And you mentioned in the prayer and also in the music. I'm going to suggest one day, Marcy, we should talk about music maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's overlap in a lot of things in music.
If you listen to the Byzantine chant, and if you listen to Islamic chant, you can definitely tell that they have very similar origins. Mm-hmm, you will not be able to tell the difference between the two unless you could understand Arabic or Greek. Yeah.
I want to mention one thing here. You know, the fasting month of Ramadan, this is like starting fasting month of Ramadan after the Prophet Muhammad migrated from Makkah to Medina, okay? When he got to Medina. Before that, the Muslim, they also fasting and month of the Muharram. You know, the same day, the fasting, the Jew fasting in the Muharram, you know, the Rabba Jana, I'm
for
right?
For us, it was Yom Kippur, yes. For us, it was Yom Kippur, yes.
Yes, the people fasting, the Muslim, they fasting at that 2 days, is Muharram, Ashura. Mm-hmm. At that day, then the Prophet Musa, God gave him the victory and make his salvation from the Pharaoh. And he took the Bani Israel from Egypt to the Holy Land. So they're fasting that month, and Muslim used to fast that month, that days. They are still fasting that day too, but this is not obligated for us right now. But myself and most of the Muslim, the fasting is still that day.
Influence from that.
Yes. So you know, how is it closed each other?
The last pillar too, though, that Imam mentioned was one of charity. Of course, we see that in the ancient Jewish tradition, also in the Christian tradition,
modern.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
That too. That's true.
Yeah.
That's that kind.
Yeah.
Brother Ashish is trying to speak.
My question to Imam is, there are Sunnis and Shiite faith in Islam. Do they all follow the same scripture, Quran, or there are some variants in terms of how they celebrate Ramadan and other holy festivals of Islam?
I think that Shia and Sunni both believe in the Quran, they practice in the Quran, and the five pillars, like the is same.
Okay.
Some like five pillars is same, and they believe in the Quran is same, prophet is same, but something they like what is called very minor thing, little bit here and there.
Like
but
tradition.
Nowadays you can see more different because of the politician. I guess like this.
I agree.
So this year, Imam, I am surprised to see that Ramadan and Passover and Easter and Pascha and many of these holidays are all closer together. They're not always like that because the Muslim calendar is just lunar, so sometimes it moves around a lot. And I'm very impressed that this year it's almost the same.
Yeah, every year, like they come to early, like 12 days, 10 to 12 days, every year come early. Like this year, like April 12, maybe next year, it will be like April beginning or end of the March.
And the Jewish calendar has the same problem with a lunar calendar because a new month means a new moon. And so it has to be a lunar. But when we mentioned before Passover, the Passover, according to Torah, has to happen in this month of the spring. So we have to do a mathematical complication thing where we have a leap month six times in a 19-year cycle so that the first month of the year, which is the month of the spring where Passover happens, always comes in the spring, because otherwise we would do the same thing as Ramadan. So when the first Ramadan, you said, what time of year was that? I presume we know.
First Ramadan is
what time of year? Did it matter? It doesn't matter what season it comes in.
Yeah, it's not matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
So may I ask, Brother Ashish, is there something right now on the Hindu calendar that happens in the springtime, if I may? I don't mean to take away from Ramadan for a second, but I'm always intrigued about the
similar. There are various festivals comes to, but the one that recently passed is called Festival of Holi, which is celebrated very widely in India. They also call it Festival of Colors. And there is not much of religious significance to it, but it's more of a cultural significance to it because it starts in spring, which is a month after winter, and that brings people together, celebration of new lights and celebration of new weather, which is good for farmers and farming community, and so celebrate with colors. So, and there is some religious significance to it as well, but nowadays it's more of a cultural celebration, yes. We just passed, matter of fact, last week.
Last week. And would you spell it in English, its name?
Yeah, Holi, H-O-L-I.
Okay, so.
They put to color like each other, like the face, the clothes, all this kind of thing. They can enjoy each other, yes.
Correct.
Well, I was gonna ask the Imam about the preparations for the celebration of Ramadan. Could you talk about, are there any preparations for that as far as tradition goes?
Yes, maybe the 1 week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago, I starting already how the preparation for that. And not only for us, like, you know, we are living in such a diplomatic country like the United States. We have enough food, drink, a lot of money. Like back home, you know, you see like many other countries, like you can see for Yemen, you can say like India or, you know, that Afghanistan or Pakistan, Bangladesh, Africa, Nigeria, all these countries have, there is Muslim, but they have not that much resource there. They have not that much money. So they're sent the money before like Ramadan starts to them, any place, you know. So they can also enjoy, like, you know, they can eat good, like, you know, after iftar, after fasting whole day, some people may have no enough food, they can eat, enjoy, you know. So this thing, they sent money before the Ramadan start. And also, like here, I told, like, if you're not pandemic, like we're eating every day, like around 200 people. So the some brothers or sister, they put their name, I will be sponsored that day. I will be feeding 200 people, you know. So they put their name.
I was going to say, and it's something that I offered to do at some point, when I know that there are some communities where the Jews and the Muslims are living nearby, in America at least, where the Jews have hosted the break fast for Ramadan, and that way the Muslims can be praying and be holy and not have to worry about the food. And then the Muslims would prepare the break fast for Yom Kippur, so the Jews didn't have to worry about it. So when I was at a masjid last time, I said, I think we should do this. We should do this for each other. It would be very important. How many people come to your break fast? And it was like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I could get enough people to cook that much. There's so many people. So it's all good intentions, please understand. But oh my goodness. One day, I think our community needs to do this for each other. We need to find out how we can help each other, all of these communities, and help each other.
I think maybe the one day, like, you know, if like it's pandemic, ask God to remove this kind of pandemic from us. Amen. You know, and he give the bidding the happy life for all of us. And one day we can, like, a religious day, we can bring the every religious some food, some table, you know, we can meet each other, we can feed each other, we can eat from each other.
We do that with a World Religion Day. I don't know if everybody is familiar with this, but we do that. And this year and last year, we had to not do it in the same way, and it kind of fizzled. But we will come back together. It's in January every year, so please watch for that too. It's a day when all of the different faiths have their own little booth inside the building, and we learn, we sing, we talk. It's a wonderful time to visit. So next year, with God's help.
Well, remind us of that so that we can talk about it. Pastor Sione, I saw you kind of wanting to make a comment about 30 minutes ago. do you still have that comment?
Probably come through this. You're talking about food. That's when I come in. Imam, during the season of Ramadan, are there particular food that is forbidden for eating or preparation, a particular way of preparing food and drinks? Are there preference what to eat and what not to eat? Since the season is very structured, how about the food?
And if, like, not only Ramadan, is like any day in any Muslim life, he cannot eat many things. Like, we cannot eat the pork, okay? Pork is there, we cannot eat it. Same thing, we cannot drink alcohol anytime. It's life. It is unlawful for us. And also, like, meat is like that, we can eat like other animals, like the goat, lamb, cow, chicken, but it should be slaughtered, you know, should be specific way slaughtered, not the with the killed. So that way, you know, the Muslim cannot eat all the meats, like, you know, the for Walmart and these, they cannot eat all this. If the kosher is there, then we can eat.
We do a slaughter in almost the same way. And our food restrictions are almost the same with which kinds of animals we're allowed to eat and not eat. But at the end of your day, at the end of each of your days of Ramadan, or at the very, very end, are there special foods that you want to prepare to make? Sometimes sweets, not sweet?
The people, those who like a sponsor, they try to do their best, you know? So okay. They can bring the all kinds of good food, you know? If from India, some people like Indian contents, you know, the Indo-Pakistan, Bangladesh, they try to bring the korma, biryani, sweet, all these things. If you like the Middle Eastern people, they bring whole lamb, you know, the what is called this kind of
hummus.
Hummus, all kinds of things.
I'm hungry now.
It's a different type of food because all over the world, the people like it. Every country people is here, especially, you know. So we very enjoy. And also, you know, in the month of Ramadan, we have used to have one iftar party, you know, and a special day, we also call our friends, like, you know, non-Muslim, like our brothers and sisters in faith. We call them, if, like, I know you and Brother Jensen and Brother Ashish and me, Marcy Harvey, I can call them. I have the iftar today. Please join with us. Mm. And some people come and they enjoy.
Imam, there's another question I would like to ask, and that is, how old are the children in your faith?
It's a very good question.
Start being responsible for their own participation.
Yes, a very good question. Very, very good question. It's a very smart question, yes. You know, our prophet, peace be upon him, he said about the salah, the prayer, say when the kids 7 years old, make them as a habit, not obligatory, make them a habit. And when they're 10 years old, make kind of force to pray. But it is obligatory start when they start the mature, you know, like it's teenager, like 13 years old. So they have to fasting and do pray. So, but the fasting, like in my kids, they start like, you know, yeah, 7 years old. Before last year, when he 10 years old, he fasted a whole month. So it is not hard, it's not difficult. You know, just my beginning one day is kind of maybe after like 4 o'clock, kind of disease feeling. Then second day and third day, the body used to. Yes, brother, you want to say something?
Yes, we don't know what the fasting does in the body and why is it important, but what is the spiritual significance of fasting in terms of reaching Allah? It means it's one of the five pillars and it's very important that you fast. And what happens? That's my question to you.
You know, each and every person, they're doing anything they do for hope, yes? For religious basis, they're hoping they make happy to God, yes? And final, our distinction is called in Arabic called al-Jannah, the paradise, you know? Each and every, our country say shargo, you know, so everybody want to go there, you know? Actually, all the human beings, they want to go there. Because this is actually our house. Because our father, Adam, he created there in the heavens, yes? And he used to live there in the heavens. But then God sent him this world. But eventually, after we stay here, after people die, one day finally, each and every religious, they want to go in the heavens. If I'm not wrong, we believe like Christianity and the Judaism and Muslim, they hope they want to go. They want to, because they believe we want to go to Jannah, paradise. Am I right?
I like when you call it Jannah. That's my favorite part of the story. I will agree. For Jannah. There, I think that in many faiths, they think about what happens after you die, and that's what they go to.
Yes. And Noah. This is like this is the Jannah, like Prophet Adam, he created was there. Allah, the God, created him in Jannah, in paradise. Then he sent him, he's here.
I don't know that I heard that version, honestly. Okay,
you know, I don't know this thing?
Yeah, I don't know that I'd heard that. Part of what we say is that Adam comes from the word Adama, that God took the earth from the four corners of the earth and made it into a human shape. And so it's from Adama. Adam.
In the God command the angel Gabriel, mm-hmm. He go bring the all about the wall, like that mud or dust.
Okay.
And he created the shape. In Jannah, not in this world. No, not this world. In the heavens, you know. And then God blow
with nose, his sword, right? With the nose. It's nose
from the nose. Yes.
It's a very vivid image of how the human was created with God, blowing out from his nose and making a human come to life. Every time I breathe, Imam, I think about when I inhale, I think about breathing in God, and exhale, and I give away what I have to, you know, let God take that.
Yes.
Breathing every time.
I
don't always think about the nose.
The inverse of that in some ancient religions was man would form a god and breathe into his nose to bring life into the god. So it's the Jewish and the Islamic and Christian understanding of that is actually the inverse. God makes man and breathes life into his nostrils. So it's an inverse of which you read in other ancient world religions that are from antiquity.
And breathing's important.
Iman Islam, is that a account of the beginning with Adam or Adam? Is that recorded in the Quran?
Yes. It's many times.
The text
created him, and he used to live there. How and the is shaitan, you know, deceive him in a when God created him until and. Then he created finally his wife, the Eve, Hawa. His rib, you know, from his body. He created the Eve, and they tell them, eat each and everything, this paradise, except only this tree, you know. The Iblis, they say, like, you know, in Shaitan, he came to and say, you know, why God forbid you if you eat this one? This is very good, very good one. So you will be here forever. So he deceived, you know. And the human being, you know, even prophet of father Adam, he's human being, you know. All the prophet, they're human being. And the human being is not the perfect, you know. They are most perfect people, but not the perfect, you know. They can do anything little bit wrong. Only our belief and the Quran say the angel they not do any wrong. They not do any kind of wrong things, no. But a human being can do anything little bit here and there, but the angel cannot do anything. So he do shaitan deceive him and he eat this tree. And when they eat this tree, so he need to go restroom because but paradise, the heaven, nobody if when go to there, but eat a drink, but you need to any kind of restroom. So when he eat this one, so he have to Allah send him down from there to here. Yes.
Rabbi, if you lay the Quran down with the Torah, then you definitely see the parallels as we can hear, but there's, you know, differences as well.
Yeah. I love hearing about the same and the different. I love this. I truly love this.
Yeah.
We get to come together to do this.
This is an honor and a privilege to be able to do it. And I am so very grateful to all of you for being able to hear one another's stories and see the likenesses and the differences in both. I'm afraid we're gonna be out of time today. I can tell that we could have continued to talk about Ramadan for another 3 or 4 hours. It was very interesting. Thank you, Imam. I appreciate.
Marcy, we need one more thing. We need to know, how do we wish you a blessed Ramadan? How do we
yes,
say
that was the last question.
How do we greet you for Ramadan? What do we say?
It's been called Ramadan Mubarak.
Yes.
Ramadan Mubarak. Mubarak means blessing, you know?
A blessing Ramadan.
Ramadan, yes.
Ramadan Mubarak.
We thank you for that. You've been listening to About Faith on Red River Radio. I hope you enjoyed meeting our guest panel today. If you have any questions that you would like to ask the panel or have them address it, please email us at redriverradiomail@gmail.com. That's redriverradiomail@gmail.com.
And be sure to tune in next week to Red River Radio at 1 p.m. for Illuminations. And don't forget to tune in 2 weeks for conversations about many important topics that we will continue to be talking about as we go forward, looking and learning about the people of faith in our community. This is Marcy Howard with lots more questions about faith. So thank you for being with us today.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Red River Radio, our staff or advisory board, or LSU Shreveport. This program copyright 2021.